Got the I think got the opposite of a standing ovation last night doing a show at the Comedy Festival.
Opposite.
Well, I don't know what it was, but it was so funny. Remember in the old days when you do the last laugh and you know you're going bad when you can hear the tram going around the corner? Remember that?
Ding, ding.
You hear this ding, ding. You'd be on stage, you hear this. Well, last night I was on stage and I think I'd finished a routine.
Yeah.
So I said, blah, 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 blah. Then I heard a toilet seat bang. Like quite violent, like bang. And I said, did anyone else hear that? And they went, yeah. I said, wow. What a great round of applause. That single wow. toilet seat banging on the... Do you want to reenact it now? Because there's a toilet quite close.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll do a routine and you... oh, God.
Hang on. I'll turn the microphone around.
Hang on. Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. Hang on a sec. All right. Hang on. There we go. Okay. So
outside, just to set the scene.
Yes.
We're in a studio and there is an actual toilet.
Mm.
Right across. There's male and female.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's someone in the female. I don't want to go in there.
No, go in the male.
Okay, I'll go in the mail. And how do I know when the toilet seat...
You'll hear me say, I'll just do a quick routine. I'll say, I am in shape. It's just a round one. And after one, you bang the toilet seat down. Okay. It'll be like a reenactment. Okay. Well, okay, you go.
I'm going out now.
You're going. I reckon we can pick it up.
This is like live. This is like
magic. Old-fashioned radio. Yeah. Hang on. Okay. You're there. Anyway, you're there.
There's nobody in the ladies. I'll go there.
Go in the ladies. All right. Okay, you're right. Okay. So anyway, here I am at the Comedy Festival, and they say I am in shape. It's just a round one. Did anyone hear that?
Oh, play the music.
Man, play the music. You can't get any better than a toilet seat banging.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I'm a bit teary.
Right, why?
It's our 200th show. Wow. I think, I'm pretty sure it is.
200th show. Well, we should.
Does it feel like 200?
We should be doing something special. So far, we just had a toilet seat bang.
I think that's appropriate for what we do. We're on track for that.
Yes.
200. Mm. Bison. That Australia is what 200 and.
How old? White Australia. It'd be 200 years, wouldn't it? I don't know.
The bicentennial was in 1888.
We should do something special. We should try and work on a special guest, but we're actually doing the show right now, which we
what
haven't.
What do you mean working on a special guest?
Well, we should get a special guest. It's the 200th episode. We should have, like, I don't know, Paul Hogan ringing in to congratulate us. Or
I'm doing his roast.
Are you doing the roast?
Yeah.
I've been invited to go along, but unfortunately I'm in Bendigo that night.
Well, I've done a piece for it to play on the night.
Oh, okay. Right, great.
So they may not like it and they may not play it, or they may cut it out in the edit.
Because it's a live event.
Yeah, but I bring in as Russell Coit.
Oh, fantastic.
Not ring in.
You video in.
I video in, yeah.
Great.
So I did it at home and I don't know. Well, I don't reckon I'm not a roast guy.
No, you're not nasty, but hang on. Well, we've got about half an hour to go. Can you get organise hoax for us?
I haven't got his number. I've only met him. We met him once. Did you go backstage?
Why
with you?
I was there. Me, you, Husey, and Rosenbarks, yeah.
And he was pretty short.
Yeah,
in stature.
And he was smoking. He'd been smoking.
He's smoking. And he was pretty quiet too.
But he knew you. He was a fan of yours.
Not much. But apparently he does like Russell Coit.
Oh, yeah, he'd love that. Yeah. That's a bit hoax, isn't it? A bit hoax.
Yeah. I must admit, in my early days back in, he was big in the 70s, wasn't he?
Yeah, and 80s. Crocodile Dundee was mid-80s.
Yeah. I remember going, if I could get to work with Paul Hogan... I would be. That would be the best.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Him or Benny Hill, both.
Dick Emery.
It finally happened, but I didn't, because I'm not a roast guy. No,
you got to be a sniper, and also, who wants to have a crack at hoes? It's a bit. I mean, yeah. What are you going to say? Oh, you did a few bad. You did flipper. You know, like.
Well, the story was, I don't know. I think they'll mind me telling it. Was that he came out for an award, and people got up and spoke about him. And he wanted them to make fun of him. So this is like, he wants to make,
yeah,
wants them to make fun. Anyway, happy 200th. Blow that. I've got a cake here. Blow the candles out.
There's not many candles on that cake. Well, anyway, welcome and thanks for joining us on the journey. And look, you know, there's people. I've been doing the comedy festival, and I saw some young guys last night, and they were like 89, and they said they're big fans of this podcast. So we're getting the youth.
Oh, if we're getting the youth,
man, they're just going, "Who's Paul Hogan at this stage?"
Yeah. Hello, the youth out there.
The youth.
I hope the youth.
The youth.
Yeah, that's how you say it, isn't it? Well, look, to be quite honest, I listen to this podcast and I look forward to it because I must have, you know, I've got some dementia going on or something. I don't remember half the things I say.
Well, same here.
Yeah, I go, wow. That was quite good.
That was quite funny.
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
And I hear myself not listening to you.
Yeah, well, same here. I hear you say things that I don't even pick up on.
Yeah, because I'm preparing the next bit I'm going to say.
Because there's been instances when I've been listening and you've said, I had this experience in a public toilet last night. And I went, yeah, so anyway, I was down the shops. You had a very life-changing moment in that toilet.
Yeah, I'm about to reveal everything. I'm going home, better move on. The toilet, public toilet thing wasn't that good, interesting. Anyway, okay, fair enough.
Anyway,
thanks for all support. Yeah. From what we are told, we have some listeners out there, and thanks for your support. We love doing it, and we'll keep on doing it if you keep on listening. And anyway, we've got a number of famous people around the world.
Sure.
We got Will Smith wanted to say something.
He wanted to come in and slap us both. Whack, whack, whack. Well, let's get the topics then.
Yeah,
let's not dwell on fame and whatever. You know, what are the topics, Sam?
Harley Davidson's and a pig.
Wow, really? Pigs and Harleys. All right.
A pig. I mean, that's not a dirty person, a pig.
No, the actual animal.
The animal.
I love pigs. Pigs are cute, but also then you feel bad when you eat them, you know, because
I'm getting a lot of that lately.
Oh, yeah?
Not from you, from myself. Because, you know, pigs are, like, smarter than dogs.
Apparently. How do they know that?
Yeah, like, yeah.
How do they know that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they may just give them a math problem or something.
IQ test. I love pigs. They're so cute. But then again, look at all the food they produce. Bacon, pork, ham. That's 3 out of 3.
Is it a very...
good meat?
No. Yes. Is it a good... Well, it's a processed meat, so it's not good for you. It's highly processed.
Well, no, not... Hang on. Bacon and ham are, but what about just pork? Like, you cook roast pork. Oh, crackling. We can add that as another one. Oh.
See, I'm not a big crackling guy.
No, you're not crackling, are you?
Because it's just a big lump of fat, isn't it?
Yeah, but fat's... Where there's fat, there's flavour. As Matt Preston once said.
Where there's fat, there's flavour.
Matt Preston said that, I think. Was when there's fat, there's flavour. And it's true.
Gee.
But where there's fat, there's a heart attack as well.
Because you're the voice of fat.
I was the voice of fat.
Did you put a voice on for that, by the way?
No, it's just my normal voice. I can't be the voice of fat anymore, though.
So, pigs.
Cute.
Cute. Is it a very... big in the US as food.
And pets.
Pets?
What about the potbelly pig? Remember George Clooney had a potbelly pig? Remember?
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's a little piglets. Didn't someone let a piglet out on a football ground once?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
To have a go at Plugger?
Plugger. Yeah. Oh, good memory. Yeah. I mean, pigs are kind of funny too when you look at them. They're kind of funny.
They're funny, and they are. There doesn't seem anything except that. What's a wild boar that you see out in the air? Is that a pig?
Razorback. Yeah, they're a type
of pig. So that's an aggressive pig with horns that will
like a wild one.
Whereas you they're not domesticated, but your farm pig is. A friend of mine's got one. You go out there and he goes and comes out and it's fucking huge.
They're huge, aren't they?
Huge, and they're actually quite clean apparently. They're not,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that pig in the mud stuff.
Yeah, it's not true.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had a pig. I mean, in terms of farm animals, I reckon they're one of the best. You know what I mean? Better than a sheep, better than a chicken.
I don't mind a cow.
Oh, the cow. Yeah.
What, you don't like the cow?
I don't know. Cows are big. I like pigs. They're sort of little and cute. But then they get really big.
When they get really big. Yeah, how do you, you know. And it's like you say, I do feel bad about eating them. But what about Miss Piggy?
Very funny. Kermit. She was always in love with Kermit. We should play some Miss Piggy for thinking music.
Yeah, that's a good idea. She was... It was a she. It was he?
Yeah.
And what was her modus operandi? What was she always whinging?
She was in love with herself.
And she used to hit people, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She was a bit out of control. She was very vain. She thought she was beautiful.
So that was a kid show that went to air. I remember Friday night, 7:30. Yes. It was a family show.
7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was filmed in London.
That came out of Sesame Street? No. Did
yeah, it? Yeah. It was the same guys. It was Jim Henson.
And they had the two guys. Did they have the two guys up on the balcony? Was that?
Yeah, yeah.
That?
Walter and Stadler and Waldorf.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing down there? Call that a joke. That's not a joke.
That's one of the best laughs you get when you're at a gig and there's two old guys. You go, oh, look, it's the two old blokes from the Muppets, everyone. Oh, killer. God. Killer. That's why I'm on the big money.
Babe?
La, la, la.
Jeez, you're good. Man, you can voices. Do a spiggy, do you?
But Babe, the first movie was fantastic. Did you see the second one?
No.
The second one's so full on and...
What, weird?
Yeah. Like...
tried too hard?
Futuristic and evil and... Oh, man, some weird stuff in the second one.
Magda Szymanski?
She was great.
Yeah, she was in... that was her first international crossover, wasn't it?
La, la, la.
What was it? I don't remember it. It was just...
About a pig that could talk, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but what was the adventure? What were they? Where were they?
Who was the farmer? He was great too.
He was an English actor.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and he's a famous animal rights activist too. You see him in
farming
stuff.
Pigs.
He's in Succession actually, as the the guy's brother, the main guy. You know, get fucked.
He's
that guy.
Good. He's good
as his brother. Yeah, he's a very good actor. I had an over moment. Well, let's not even pretend that we know.
No, we don't, because he's one of your second rungers.
Yes.
He's not a...
He's a great character actor. Yeah. Great character actor.
You know pigs can't sweat?
I can't sweat.
No. Are you a... I'm a sweater.
No, I'm not a sweater.
No, actually, no. So if you go on a TV show, do you not hold your arms up?
Yeah, no. You see them on shows where people... And they're all... No, I'm...
Well, sometimes they put pads in there for you. Oh. Here's a bit of a showbiz secret.
Nappy?
No, under your armpits.
Yeah, I know that, but they use a nappy to put under there?
No, there's like a special pad.
A special pad?
Because there is nothing. When someone's talking and they raise their arm and they've got a sweat pit, a sweat spot, you can't. You stop listening, don't you? You go, he's got. Where? How far does the sweat go?
Oh,
you know. I was watching the Prime Minister talk last night and he had one of those white dots on his lip.
Oh, yeah.
And once you see the white dot, you can't. You go, I'm just looking at the white dot.
Can't unsee it.
You can't see anything else because it was quite a severe up close. Anyway, is that enough about pigs?
Love pigs. Love pigs. Well, Harleys. Well, we talked about motorbikes out with Ross Noble, didn't we? But Harleys are very specific.
Do you get the feeling that it was invented by two guys, one called Harley and one called...
Oh, really?
Well, that's what I'm... Or do you think it's someone called Harley Davidson?
I don't know. But I've read about bikie gangs. I'm not obsessed by bikie gangs, but I find it interesting.
Well, you live close by to one, and they're lovely neighbours, aren't they?
I live near the Hells Angels.
The Hells Angels?
The clubhouse.
And I know I used to know the treasurer.
You knew the treasurer? Paul Berry?
Yeah.
No, anyway, let's say names. Yeah, no. I'm more aligned with the Comancheros. But anyway, whatever. I'm not aligned with the Finks. I don't know. Anyway, I watched that Sons of Anarchy show, which is all about bikie gangs. It's a bit over the top, but
yeah,
it's
no.
good if you like motorbikes and gangs.
It was a bit rough for me.
A bit rough. Yeah, they're always setting people on fire, and someone's wife will get shot. It's like, oh, we shot the. Why'd you shoot the wife? Oh, we thought we were meant to shoot the wife.
My brother had a Harley Davidson.
Your brother had a Harley.
Yeah, you've met Phil. Spoken to Phil regularly.
No, the
about
washing machine.
He had a Harley Davidson. He used to take people on rides around the Gratishan Road, and you could sit on the back.
Really?
Those special seats with a sound system and everything.
That was his really.
That was his thing. He did a bit of that. Yeah. And
imagine if you turn up to your house and fix your washing machine on the Harley. You go, Jesus Christ, we're going to get the Hell's Angels are here. And then Phil walks
in. That's a real, you know, buying point. That would make you get him because you know. Imagine that turning up.
Yeah, you fix your washing machine, you go for a ride.
Yeah, it's a double whammy.
Two in one. Yeah, I haven't spoken to him since we bought a Bosch because my wife, he said, Bosches are too hard to fix. And then.
And he said, you're dead to me.
Yeah, well, basically, I haven't spoken to him since.
Yeah, I'm not
Kieran's
surprised.
Like, will he feel bad? I don't think he'll feel bad. He's a washing machine mechanic. He was just giving us advice.
Yeah, don't feel
well,
bad.
Well, why don't we speak to someone who knows about Harleys? Get Phil on the phone. No.
Well, he does know about Harley. We could ring Phil.
We want to. It's our 200th.
Do you know it? Have you got any?
200th episode.
Could we ring? Oh, don't ring someone from the Hells Angels.
Ball Bearing. I don't have his number. Who's famous and rides a motorbike? Okay. How do we know that rides motorbikes?
Here's a question.
We've spoken to Ross.
Here's a question that I know the answer to.
Mm.
We both know someone who would be great to have on air 200th episode who rides a motorbike. Both of us know him.
Phil, your brother.
No.
Eric Banner.
Yes.
Eric, we saw him the other night.
We had dinner with him. We have a regular dinner. Can we say why we have a regular dinner?
Yeah, we were all in the Eric sketch show in the 90s.
And we get together once or twice a year and reminisce about the show, about life.
It's good fun with Kevin, the director, and...
I sat next to Eric.
Matt, the writer. There's a lot of... Yeah, it's fun.
Anyway, do you reckon he would... I've got it. You've got his number.
Who knows where he is? He's Hollywood, Eric. He's Hollywood. But he was there the other night.
But if he sees Dave O'Neill ring or Glenn Robbins ring, who's he going to pick up for? I reckon he'll pick up for Dave O'Neill.
No, well, I've got the cord, so I'll plug it in into the phone. I don't know if it'll fit your phone.
I reckon, what if we don't get him, we'll ring my brother.
Okay.
No, I know my brother might then be second.
He'll be second. We're not going to ring Phil. Phil's busy. All right?
Okay.
Does he still have the Harley?
No.
No, well, then we can't talk to him about it. Okay, let's ring Eric.
Okay.
Oh, it's ringing. It's exciting.
It's his agent, is it?
No, it's Eric. I did the nugget with him.
Oh. Hello.
Eric Banner. It's Dave O'Neill and Glenn Robbins.
Don't say anything because you're on our podcast, just warning you, and we've rung you out of the blue, and we apologise, but we've got a topic that we think you might know something about.
Hang on. So what you're saying is I have to be careful what I say. Is that what you're saying?
No, meaning that we're not just having a chat.
We don't want to get cancelled. You know,
we don't want stories from the touring days. That's what you're saying.
Oh, do you remember up in the caravan? Do you remember the caravan?
No stories from Lake Epilock. Okay,
We did a show. You, me, Bob Franklin.
Bob Franklin.
Oh, this is a good story. Do you remember the story?
I do. It was Lake Epilock and Bendigo, I believe.
In a caravan?
Yeah, we stayed in our caravan on Lake Epilock. And we ended up, we must have done a gig in Bendigo. That's why we stayed in the caravan.
It was cold.
In the middle of winter.
In the middle, it was cold.
Yep.
And what happened? Remember what we did?
I do remember, but it's totally up to you whether you think it's
okay. You can come in when you're ready. We had some magazines in there which were
adults.
Well, no, there was pictures of men. No, hang on, am I getting this right, Eric? We were cutting out photographs from those magazines and then putting them in our wallet like they were photographs of our.
Of our friends.
I've heard this before. So those girls who have the back of it, what were they called? I don't know what they were called. Anyway, and then we would just let our wallet fall open, and then there was a...
While ordering drinks. Order drinks and have your wallet wide open whilst placing your order.
Oh, we laughed so hard the whole night. I mean, you're in Bendigo, you're in a caravan, what else are you going to do? You know, seriously.
I went on tour with Eric.
Remember
we did Rockingham? Do you remember Rockingham and you wanted to watch the St Kilda game? And so
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, who was it Kevin Summers, the promoter? Would have been the Cat.
Oh, the Cat, Kevin Summers. Money talks, cash screams, Cat.
That's what he used to say. And he said to me, Eric wants to watch the St Kilda game in the room, the motel room. You've got to do longer. And it was like in a nightclub called the Swinging Pig. I always remember it in Rockingham. And I'm on stage and a guy threw a plastic chair at me. And I'm like, oh, I might bring on Eric then. And I see the Cat up the back of the room doing the stretch symbol, like stretch it out, go longer.
Time on in the fourth quarter. Yes, he doesn't want to come on.
St Kilda are doing well. St Kilda are doing well.
Now, we should tell Eric why we rang him.
You tell him.
We do a podcast called Somehow Related, and it's how two topics are related. And the topics this week are Harley Davidson and a pig. And now, if anyone knows about motorbikes, it's you. Mm. We know that you do off-roading. We also know that you rode across the US when you were in your youth, solo. I don't know what sort of motorbike it was. So we thought, can we just have a chat about your knowledge of motorbikes?
Where does the pig come into it?
Well, this is what we're going to try and work out.
They're somehow related, Eric.
They're somehow related.
The pigs have got something to do with Harleys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, because the nickname for a Harley is a hog, right?
Yes. Yeah, but why though? Yeah. I suppose that's the question.
Harley organizers group?
Harley owners group. An organization around the world that, you know, gets Harley owners together. So I'm not sure if that's where the hog nickname for the bike came from, though. I'm not sure if there's roots in the 20s and 30s. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Have you driven a Harley many times, Eric?
Yeah, I do. One of the bikes in the shed is a Harley. Ooh. It's an old school kind of, called a Road King, which is probably what you would, any photo you would find of Elvis Presley, he would have been on something that looked like a Road King.
Hang on, how many bikes you got in the shed at the moment, just roughly? How many bikes are there?
It's probably half a dozen.
Oh, that's not too bad. I was thinking Jay Leno.
I don't have a collection. I have no allegiance. I treat them like they just have to be well used. So I only own what I can use really, really extensively.
So what did you ride across the US?
No, I actually drove across the US. I haven't ridden across the US. Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah. Okay, then we're going to talk about that then.
So the six bikes in the shed, you got a Ducati? You've got the Ducati? Have you got Ducati?
Ducati, mate.
I've got a few Ducatis. I've got a dirt bike. I've got a big adventure bike and the Road King. And I've got a bike that's sort of building up from scratch, which is like an old 70s style hardtail chopper, which has no suspension in the rear, which, is just a fun project. But yeah, I love it, mate. Absolutely love it.
I love it because I know where you go. You go down now. He goes down the West Coast. And I know on his way down, he stops for lunch. And I know where he stops for lunch. This is you, Eric. He stops at a place called Freshwater Creek Cakes.
Oh, I stopped there.
I just got this image of the big bikey guys coming in. We're going, a bit of outback, bit of off-road.
Oh, jelly cake.
It's a great little shop. Yes. Freshwater Creek.
Yeah. Is that where you stop? We love that joint too, Eric. That's a great place. Good sponges. But you couldn't
And then there's a place in Lawn which I think does the best toasted sandwich in Australia.
Oh, what joint's that?
So it's just as you cross the bridge.
Yeah.
On the right hand side, the first place is a little cafe there, and they do a chicken avocado toasted sandwich with spring onion with massive pieces of rock salt on the top.
Do you like butter? Do you like butter added after, on top, or just as it comes out?
I reckon they put a bit of butter on top when it goes on the griller.
Yeah, that's the tip.
This is a spectacular sandwich.
Yeah,
Eric, you ever been tempted to join a gang? Like, you know, in your youth, the Hell's Angels.
Well, there were a lot of, growing up in Talmarina, my parents had a milk bar in Keilor Park, so I was surrounded by weird kind of suburban gang culture, but they were gangs called things like, the Broadie Boys, the Smurfs.
The Smurfs.
The KP Louts.
I love the Smurfs. Yeah.
I reckon back, if I think back accurately, I reckon they were basically just Eshays of the time.
Yes, really. Eshay. But they didn't ride motorbikes though, did they? I remember growing up, the people that rode motorbikes were either riding the dirt. So did you start riding dirt bikes and mini bikes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed one, but yeah, that's where I started. I borrowed a mate's
Honda Dax. Honda Dax, remember them?
Oh, I just dream about that stuff, mate.
Peewee 50.
Kids that had mini bikes to me were just like, the richest, luckiest kids on planet Earth.
I know, you're going, I would never otherwise be a friend with you, but you got a mini bike. I'm coming around to your place after school. You're just going, he's got a Honda Dax.
There was always a track near the tip. There was always kids near the tip riding them.
Yeah,
well, that's where my obsession started, because the end of my street was a industrial estate in Talmarine, and it was where the old Alcoa factory was, and just you had hundreds of acres of paddocks, and the guys used to ride from Broadmeadows and come down along the train line and then cut loose in the paddocks at the end of my street, and I just used to watch, ride my BMX bike into the paddock and just risk getting slapped across the head to just watch these guys fang around on their YZ80s.
It was a whole culture. There was a whole group of people, and the police didn't seem to get involved. They didn't come down because they were all hit the same. And it was all illegal because the bikes aren't registered, and some people had homemade mini bikes made with a lawnmower. I had one made for me with a lawnmower. It only worked once. It was really sad. My mates had it. It's really sad. Lawnmower engine. A Victor had to start it with a pull.
So what was your first motorbike then, Eric? So as soon as you turned 18?
It was as soon as I moved. Actually, was I still at home? No, I was still at home. So I must have been about 19 or 20, and it was a Suzuki RGV 250 road bike, which was a two-stroke 250, which was kind of like the fastest bike you could get when you're on your learners back then.
Yeah, right. And what was the appeal of motorbikes, do you reckon? And what is the appeal? Because some people, my brother was a motorbike rider, but he sort of grew out of it. Now his son's riding motorbikes, of course. But you've stuck with it and you love it. What's the appeal, like, for someone who doesn't ride them?
Well, I guess it's a combination of things. I mean, initially, as a young guy, it was just the feel. It was just the feel of riding a bike always felt very natural and a huge thrill. And then it was everything that came with it. It was just like a great form of transport. I'd say most of my closest friends are people I've met through motorbike riding.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I guess it's kind of like with golf, Glenn. You know, it's kind of like...
Yeah, like-minded.
But also there's this unusual thing where you can then go away for a day together or go... I just spent 7 days in Tassie, literally got back yesterday with a mate, and we just spent
a
week riding around Tassie, 2,500 Ks, you know, just exploring, going into every nook and cranny of Tasman. And it was just, it's so special. And it's not like you do that in a car. You wouldn't go with a mate and go, hey, let's get two cars and let's just follow each other around for 6 days.
It's true, and it's that unwritten language. I remember when we were in Perth, it was in the 90s, my cousin Neil, he still talks about it. He met you at the casino where we were doing a gig, and he didn't want to talk to you about comedy. He just wanted to talk motorbikes. And then, and once you must find that on sets and just wherever you go, once you find a motorbike person, do you just gravitate towards them?
Yeah, it's very true, actually, and it's always someone in the stunt department.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then you've got a mate. But it's a great leveler. Like, I mean... You know, traveling and being recognized is a pain in the butt when you're in a car, and it's never a problem when I'm on a bike.
Yeah.
Because it never, ever, like, the conversation goes off you being an actor immediately. It's where you're going, where have you been, how long you've been riding. I used to have a bike. I've got a bike. Like, so it's a really nice way of just really getting off what you do for work.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in a car, for some reason people see you as an actor. When you're on a bike, they see you as a motorcyclist, and there's almost no questions about your job.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Do you remember when you took me for a ride and I went on the back with you? What happened?
I do, and I remember it vividly. Someone nearly hit us. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have flashbacks. I remember it was in Bratton, and do you want to take us through what happened? Because you were obviously driving, and I was. There's always that weird thing. You get on the back of a motorbike and you've got to get really intimate.
You're like a girlfriend.
Yeah, you've got to put your arms around here and you've got to tuck your groin into the back of you and you go, okay, I'm okay with this. I like Eric, we get on. Okay, so it's fine. I'm cool with this. I'm a little nervous. And anyway, take us through what happened, Eric.
Well, I reckon we were on Bay Street near this hub on the corner.
Correct.
And we were in the left lane approaching a green light.
Yep.
And the right lane, the traffic was stationary, and someone decided to turn in between that traffic and cross cross our lane to get into a driveway or a street.
Yeah. Yep.
So I had to do an emergency brake maneuver with an extra 70 or 80 kilos on the back.
Were fantastic. The bike didn't fall off, right? But I reckon the back wheel nearly lifted off the ground, didn't it?
Yep, it probably came close. It was definitely an emergency. And if it makes you feel any better, that still to this day is one of the closest calls I've had.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
So when we do the life of Eric Banner, the biopic, I reckon I'll be me and you can be you, and we'll reenact that scene.
I'll be the driver.
Dave will be the driver. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it was a close call.
It was like a snap away from us, me both being on the top of that, through the window of that car.
Have you come off often, Eric? Or
I've only been hit once. I've never come off on my own, and that's in 30 plus years. I've only had one accident, and funnily enough, it was the first week of my L's, and it was an accident that would happen today if it was repeated, and I was approaching that massive roundabout, the biggest roundabout in Melbourne, at the end of Flemington Road, where the hospital is.
Yeah,
I was coming down Royal Parade from Carlton. I was in the right-hand lane, and I think it's about three or four lanes wide as you approach that roundabout. Mm. And there was an old lady next to me in the lane next to me to my left. And as we actually physically entered the roundabout, she decided to turn right and go the wrong way around the roundabout to get to the hospital and just drove into me.
Oh, no.
And so I went over the bonnet and landed in the middle of the roundabout.
God.
And the only problem with that was I was on my way to Channel 7. I was working at Full Frontal at the time. And I had to dust myself off and get I had no front brake and a busted up bike. And then I had to ride it into Channel 7 with just the rear brake, which if anyone rides a motorcycle, they'd think you're absolutely insane. And then I had to get home to Tullamarine that night. Of course, I couldn't tell anyone that I'd fallen off my bike because I was working in TV at the time.
Yes. Well, and of course, you know, I remember when people did blue heelers. I think it was Martin Sachs. He was told he wasn't allowed to ride a motorbike because they were too worried he was going to have an accident. Is that right on TV shows and movies sometimes? You're not allowed to.
It's probably the case. I never read the fine print. But look, to be honest, I mean, it is really safe. Like I feel far more dangerous, you know, as a cyclist being on the road. You know, like I've never had. That's the only accident I've had. That was, you know, 30 something years ago. I've ridden constantly still in. I've never had time off the bike, and I've never fallen off on my own. I've never dropped a bike on my own. Only on, you know, mucking around on dirt bikes, which doesn't count. That's like falling over skiing. If you're not falling over, you're not doing
it properly.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, that's given us an insight into the world of motorbikes anyway, so thanks very much.
Fantastic, Eric.
And did we solve the pig thing?
No.
Well, I reckon you've got an angle on it. We have Sam, who helps us out, and we'll have a crack, and she will give us... I'll tell you what, when she tells us, maybe we'll text it through to you.
Awesome.
I'm sure you're interested.
And it's our 200th episode today, Eric, so it's an honour. You've been a part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, keep your wallets closed when out in public, won't you, boys?
I. People used to ask us to... Marty Shergold would ask me to do it in front of him because it made him laugh so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Glenn, I have to say, I reckon that night... I reckon that is the hardest I've ever laughed in my life.
Me too. And a place that you do not associate, being in a caravan with three other guys, and we could have stayed back at the venue, but we chose to go back to the caravan and spend time with each other. Shows how much love we have for each other. There you go.
And this is a caravan, Dave, that would have been at a lake with probably no water at the time.
Yeah. Depressing, but you made it fun. You made it fun.
I've got good Lake Epilogue stories. That's for another time.
Another time. We'll do that again.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Bye.
Oh, wow. 200th episode.
Good on him.
Good on you. Okay. He loves his motorbike. Hey, so should we have some thinking music?
Yes.
Okay.
How about Easy Rider? I'm trying to think of the movies that...
Well, Eric's movie, Scene from Chopper. No cash here.
That would have been fantastic.
We could do No Cash Here. But let's have a bit of Miss Piggy. Let's lighten the mood. Miss Piggy's funny.
Miss Piggy, yeah.
Yeah, let's do Miss Piggy. All right.
Miss Piggy, like a classic scene with Kermit or something.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great.
Oh, Kermit.
Yes, Piggy?
I have something very important to tell you.
Yes, Piggy?
There's something you could do that would make moi very, very happy.
Well, tell me what it is.
You know what it is.
I do?
Of course you do. You must.
Piggy, are you trying to say...
Yes! Kermit! My dressing room sink is stopped up again.
Oh, funny.
This show's got everything. Seriously, no wonder we're getting the younger kids tuning in.
No wonder the youth are listening.
The youth are really tuned into us.
All right, well,
that's fantastic.
Do you want an answer?
Yes,
I'm going to go with Eric. It must be the hog connection, but I don't know what. I don't know what it is. What are you going to say?
The hog is.
I'm just saying
answer.
The hog and Harley. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I'm going to say that there was some sort of ritual around a pig.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh my
some
God.
Sort of... they who were you?
Satanic.
Yeah, well, maybe they did something... Let's hope they didn't do anything bad to it, but let's just say they
There was some sort of ritual, and that's led. Maybe that led into calling it Hog.
Okay.
As Eric said, but I'm not. There's something that they did with the pig. I hope it wasn't on a spit. I just. Isn't it horrible when you turn up to a barbecue
and they got a whole pig on there?
This whole pig, and you go, "That's an animal," and it's being rotated, and it's got the things coming out of its mouth. You go, "Do you want some pig with its rod up its ass coming out its mouth?"
I know, but I'm first in the queue. Let's be honest. Anyway, okay, let's get the answer.
The name Hog is synonymous with Harley Davidson bikes. The nickname was adopted because Harley Racing team member Ray Wayshar owned a piglet, which became the team's mascot, which they would take around the track with them on victory laps. Wayshar was particularly fond of it, and many photographs exist of him and the pig.
Wow, what an answer. They carry a... It could have been a kitten. Could have been a... But they did a pig.
Yep, did a pig. And around they went and...
So you were sort of right.
Well, it was some sort of ritual. I knew there'd be something other than... Because what else can you do? You can't, you know...
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You have been listening to Somehow Related, our 200 episode with Glenn Robbins, Dave O'Neill and Eric Banner.
I've thought of a pig joke.
You're good. I can't know how you do it because I can't think of two things at the same time. I can't think of doing the show and then have a joke in my head ready to go. It's a pig joke.
It's a pig joke. Okay. All right. So I've heard an Irish. It must have been Jermaine tell this one. So it's two Irish guys, farmers, buy a pig, two pigs, right? And they're two brothers. That's right.
Two brothers.
They go to the market and they buy two pigs. And they take them home and they go, "Well, how are we going to know which pig is mine and which pig is yours?" He goes, "I know. We'll cut the ear off one of them, and I'll have the one with one ear, and you have the one with two ears." He goes, "Cool." So he cuts the ear off one.
Oh, poor pig.
No. But then the pigs get in a fight and they bite the other ear off, and now they've both got one ear. He's like, "Oh God, how are we going to know which?" "Which one pig is mine? They both got one ear." He goes, "I'll cut the tail off one. And you can have the one with no tail. I'll have the one with the tail." Cool. They cut the tail off. The pigs have another fight. Takes the tail off. Now they both got no tails. He goes, "Well, how am I going to know which one is mine, which one is yours?" And he goes, I know. "I'll have the black one. You have the white one."
Hello, youth.
Good. The youth.
The youth would love
you,
that
youth.
And
200.
200. There doesn't any work any better than a pig joke than that. So thank you
thank
all.
Thank you.
And we're going to get on our Harley Davidsons and ride off into the night.
Is that a toilet seat banging?